This is Leafs Breakfast.
I believe in the team. I believe that this team is a contender, and that was my first stop. But then all the rest that comes with it, me being from Toronto, and it being a really, really great opportunity for my family, and all those thoughts went into it, and we came up with obviously a deal pretty quickly.
That is Mark Giordano back in the blue and white for two more seasons after signing a contract over the weekend. Welcome into Leafs Breakfast. Karolnik and Koliakova with you here on First Up, and we welcome in our TSN hockey insider, Chris Johnston, into the conversation. What's up, CJ?
Not much. How you doing, guys?
We're good, man. We're good. And I think Toronto Maple Leafs fans are feeling pretty good about the Gio signing. A deal I don't think we're surprised to see him back in Toronto, Chris, but at the number, $800,000 a year for two seasons, that surprised a lot of people, including myself. What was your take on the amount of money that Gio got from the Leafs?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure we've seen sort of a bigger hometown discount, you know, anywhere in recent memory in the NHL. $800,000 is beneficial for a number of reasons. If for any reason the Leafs feel he can't be in the NHL in the next 2 years, you know, they could send him to the AHL and not have a cap penalty. So really the team takes on no risk. We're still talking about a defenseman who had 35 points last year. So clearly he would have a place to push for more money. And they get a strong statement about his desire to try to be part of the solution in Toronto, to give the team as much flexibility as possible to sign players around him. And I think it's easy for me to say, or any fan to say, oh yeah, leave less money on the table. But, you know, to actually do it, I think is quite admirable and puts the Leafs in a great spot.
I remember the day after they acquired Giordano, we were in the TSN studios, and I told you this was going to happen. You were like, you looked at me surprised, and I'm like, you were like, really? Why would he do that? And I'm like, that's just, I told you what he wanted to do. I mean, didn't come as a surprise to me. I think this is just him understanding where he is in his career and, you know, the amount of money that he's made and just wants to be happy. And it's refreshing to know that they just found a way to get it done as quick as they did.
Well, I think the timing helps too. You know, the fact that it's, you know, a week after the series ended, you know, the Leafs have obviously a lot of other decisions to make this offseason, and knowing he's locked in, you know, basically just above league minimum salary, gives them, you know, I think just more time to figure out how the other pieces are going to fit together. And so, I mean, it's awesome. I think it's great, honestly. I mean, it's hard to think of anything else to say. From Giordano's side, because he could easily be making $2 or $3 million somewhere else, even if it wasn't Toronto. But, you know, clearly it's important for him to play in his hometown. And I do think this does give him just a little bit more breathing room now to try to sign other players or look at other moves that can make them better for next year.
So, CJ, now that this move is done, if you're the Maple Leafs, does this open the door to moving some other pieces out on defense? Because we've talked about, you know, two guys that have to play on this Maple Leafs defense next year. Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren have to be full-time NHLers. You got Mark Giordano now. So does this open the door for a Jake Muzzin departure on this blue line?
I don't know if it's quite that simple. I mean, I think it's possible, certainly, just because of Jake Muzzin's contract, you know, where he's at in his career, some of the injuries he's had. Whether the team can expect him to play something close to 82 games next year, all those factor into it. Plus just obviously the hard salary cap, but you know, he's a beloved player inside the organization. I know the coaching staff loves him, management loves him, his teammates love him. And so, you know, the decision won't just be a financial one. But you know, it's tough to know how it all fits. I mean, if you have four left shot defensemen that play on the left side, when you include Sandin, Giordano, O'Reilly, and Muzzin, you know, and only three spots to dress each night, that would seem to be a problem, unless there's some way they feel that maybe Rasmus Sandin could play the right side or maybe Morgan Riley. I don't know. I mean, we just haven't seen either of those guys do it enough to think that that's a full-time solution. It does sort of point you in that direction, but You know, I think that would be still a difficult move for them to make internally, but maybe, look, when we talk about moves that would make an impact or would be felt, you know, certainly that would qualify if they were to go down that road. And so we'll just have to see. You know, Jake Muzzin has a modified no trade clause, so he's got some say in any move the Leafs would have to make. And so, you know, we'll see if that's where they go next. But certainly this gives them more options having one more guy signed.
Our guest is TSN hockey insider Chris Johnston. And the team that eliminated the Leafs in seven games, the Tampa Bay Lightning, they go out against Florida and sweep away the Panthers, a team, CJ, that averaged four goals per game in the regular season. They scored three goals in four games in the series against Tampa. A mind-blowingly poor performance from the Panthers offensively. What do you make of what happened there in the series between Tampa and Florida? What was your level of surprise there?
Well, certainly surprised to see them swept. I think they got Vasilevskied, though, a little bit, if we're being honest. You know, if you look at sort of the amount of shots they had, I don't know where they ended up last night, but they certainly had a lot more than the Lightning did.
Close to 50.
Yeah, I mean, the underlying numbers suggested they should have scored 13 goals in the series, so Vasilevskiy took away 10 goals that were expected in four games. So I think it's a crazy goaltending performance in some ways. You know, a couple of those games were tight, you know, including last night's game. So, you know, give the Lightning credit. You know, they also did it without Braden Point, injured, you know, in game seven here in Toronto. So a whole bunch of reasons. It just makes you think, man, are the Lightning just this unstoppable force? Are they going to keep finding a way to claw through whatever they face and maybe win a third straight Stanley Cup, which is pretty much unthinkable in a 32-team league. You know, I give them credit, but also I really do think a huge factor in that series was that the Vasilevskiy started playing like, you know, the guy he's been for a lot of years versus what we saw against the Leafs, you know, where, you know, certainly came up big at the end of the series, but he was very gettable for the Leafs, and, you know, they put a lot of pucks behind him in that first round.
So I guess the question that a lot of people are asking this morning, CJ, is should Maple Leaf fans feel better about their loss against Tampa Bay, knowing that Tampa Bay just swept through the Florida Panthers, or should they feel worse? To me, shouldn't feel any different. At the end of the day, the Maple Leafs squandered an amazing opportunity. They had the Lightning on the ropes. They made Vasilevskiy look average, and they let them off the hook. To me, that doesn't change anything about how I feel about the Maple Leafs. That's, if anything, you should still be upset that the Maple Leafs lost.
Sure, and I think some fans probably will feel worse because, you know, I was of the view when that series was going on that the Leafs would have to get all the way to the Cup before they faced a better team than Tampa, you know, if they got through it. You know, you're up 1-0, 2-1, 3-2 in the series. You're up in Game 6. Of the series with a chance to close it out.
10 minutes left in the third.
Yeah, I mean, if you get through that, I do think the Leafs would have been in a great position to go on a long playoff run, not just, you know, finally win one series. But, you know, everything, it's hard to say that for sure, though, right? I mean, we don't know what Jack Campbell would have looked like against the Panthers. I mean, it's just sort of like you get into the butterfly effect. You can't predict everything that would have gone on. But certainly, I think the Leafs, had they beat the Lightning, were in a great spot to do something special this spring. And so, you know, I guess that probably makes you feel worse, depending on how you view it. Maybe you feel better, like they're closer, but who knows, man. It's a long time till next year, and we're going to find out if they're going to be able to finally put one of those together.
Game four tonight between the Flames and the Oilers. The Oilers up 2-1 behind Connor McDavid, CJ, who has 23 points in 10 games. For the Oilers, only Wayne Gretzky has more points through a team's first 10 playoff games. Wayne Gretzky, the only guy to do something that Connor McDavid has done so far in this postseason. And, I mean, Leon Draisaitl had four assists in a period. Evander Kane, a natural hat trick. The Calgary Flames are in tough here, and you heard some of the commentary emerging after the game. Matthew Tkachuk saying, they've got one guy who plays half the game. What are you supposed to do, basically? What would you be telling your team if you're Daryl Sutter this morning about how to slow down the McDavid, Draisaitl, and Kane line?
Man, I mean, I don't know that you can slow it down. You're just trying to come out somewhere close to even against that line. I mean, the beauty is there is still another half game those guys aren't playing, and really more than half a game. But, you know, there's only so much you can do. I mean, Connor McDavid scored at basically historical levels since the minute he entered the league. He's clearly taken to another level now. He's in the prime of his career. And, you know, if he had 23 points in 10 regular season games, we'd be gushing about it. I mean, these are playoff games. You know, this is a time of year where all the great players tend to score less than what they would average in the regular season. And he's a man on a mission. You know, it probably helps. We've seen some higher scoring games this year's playoffs. There's a 9-6 game in this series. So this isn't maybe what the playoffs has always been in our minds. But, you know, McDavid's been awesome. I mean, Draisaitl had those four assists. He's playing on a sprained ankle, which is pretty remarkable in itself. And Evander Kane, you know, that's turned out to be a pretty darn good signing for Edmonton. I mean, he produced for them consistently in the regular season. He's continued in the playoffs. And you know, they've got it going on right now. But I still see this as a long series. I mean, give Mike Smith credit. He was great in the last game, but you know, I'm not certain that how much that will continue. I think the Flames are a great team. I mean, I see this going punch for punch this series, and you know, I don't think you can do to purely stop McDavid, but you just try to keep him under 3 points a game, and you still got a chance to win those games.
I tell you what, though, man, at the pace that he's playing at right now, I'd love to see Edmonton go right to the Cup final because I mean, you marvel at what McDavid's doing, and clearly, he's worth the price of admission if you're going to watch him right now in the playoffs because he's activated beast mode. He actually should change his name to Connor McDomination because nice. That's what he's been. Speaking of dominant player, how great was it to see playoff Nazem Kadri take over in that game yesterday?
Well, personally, I loved it. I mean, I spent a lot of time around Naz in his time in Toronto, and, you know, I really like the guy. And you know, let's face it, the only issue for him has been getting to play the playoff games.
Right.
If you look at the games he's played, he's consistently been a player that's shown up and had some moments and scored goals. And, you know, I think particularly the circumstances around his game last night where, you know, I don't know if you saw on Instagram, but, you know, his wife did share some of the posts that he received. You know, following the game three, you know, pretty disgusting stuff. You know, Islamophobia aimed his way by a number of fans. It wasn't just like one crazed person on Twitter or something like that. And so amid all that sort of talk and, you know, they had to beef up the police presence around the team and everything just to make sure he's safe, that, you know, to see the Blues kind of losing their mind on him and drawing some penalties and then scoring the hat trick. I mean, it's pretty much a tour de force performance, as you're going to see in the playoffs. And I think, you know, under those circumstances, you're seeing a player who rose to the moment, who didn't, you know, shy away from, you know, what must have been a tough couple of days for him, I can only imagine. And, you know, now as the Avalanche on the verge of moving into the third round, I mean, that's a pretty special game for Naz. And let's remember, he's a free agent in a few weeks' time. And so might help make himself some money, too. You know, he already had a fantastic regular season production-wise, but, you know, he's showing himself to be someone who can handle the physical side of the game, who performs when the other team, you know, almost makes him the enemy. And, you know, I think that was one of those games that will go down as one of the more special ones of his career.
Yeah, sure. It's sure special to watch some Maple Leafs, former Maple Leafs, play on other teams. I mean, you talk about Nazem Kadri, what he's doing with Colorado in the playoffs, Zach Hyman, what he's doing with Edmonton in the playoffs, and it just makes you wonder, what if or why couldn't they be those guys for the Maple Leafs? And maybe it's a Maple Leaf thing. Who knows? But I guess we'll have to wait another year to find out.
Well, for being fair, Kadri's trade is probably the biggest mistake of Kyle Dubas' time as GM. I mean, it wasn't a total disaster. I mean, they have a player in Alex Kerfoot who plays for the team, but you know, just given Kadri's contract's been $4.5 million the last 3 years, you know, they just felt they couldn't trust him, right? But you know, I think it was probably an error, and clearly this is a guy that can perform in the playoffs, and so, you know, would have been nice probably to have that, but you know, every GM's going to make those mistakes along the way too.
Yeah, they sure are. Let's focus in on the other series that's going on. That's Carolina and the Rangers playing game four tonight. We saw some fireworks take place at the end of the game. We saw some comments about with Gerard Gallant post game. Typical stuff you'd see in a playoff series as it moves on. But there was a Freddie Anderson sighting in practice the other day, and I'm not sure how much you know about that situation, but could we potentially be seeing Freddie Anderson return to the Carolina Hurricanes?
Well, it's obviously a great sign to see him be a full participant at practice. You know, he's basically what I know about is, you know, he had the knee injury in the last week of the season, the regular season. You know, there wasn't any real structural damage to the knee, at least not what was found in what they looked at in the MRIs, but, you know, he hasn't felt comfortable. And so it's been quite a long layoff for him. I think it's been, you know, frustrating for the Hurricanes to a certain degree, because of the uncertainty. And remember, there's a similar situation here last year in Toronto where, you know, Anderson missed several weeks during the year and they couldn't really figure out what was wrong. You know, I think he finally felt like he got to a solution in the off season, and, you know, he obviously had a great year for the Hurricanes playing, but the timing of this has been off. But fortunately, his team has found a way to win enough games where they've extended the window for him to potentially get back in there. And so I do think, you know, if he gets to a spot where he's comfortable to play, we'll see him enter the series at some point. In kind of an unusual circumstance for a team that's up 2-1 in the second round. They've already used two goaltenders in this playoffs and haven't even got to their number one guy. So he'll be, you know, the third goalie they use, you know, should he get back in there. And so, you know, he's working his way back to that spot. I would think he still needs a bit more time, but, you know, that's great news for them because the best version of the Hurricanes we saw this year was the version with Freddie Anderson in net.
CJ,
7 o'clock start.
Sorry, I just got one more question to ask before we head out. Postmortem for the Florida Panthers. First time they get shut out all season. They do it in an elimination game against Tampa Bay. They lose four straight. What do you think is in the offseason for the Florida Panthers, considering everything they gave up to give themselves the best chance to win this year?
Well, we always talk about, you know, teams like Toronto having cap challenges. You know, Florida sees raises come in next year for Alexander Barkov, Carter Verhaeghe. You know, those guys deserve raises and earn them, but, you know, that's less money to spend there. They gave up the first-round picks for Ben Chiarot and Claude Giroux. You know, they'll do what they can to keep their team together, but they're gonna be in tough to make things a lot better, too, just because we're in a flat-cap league. So, you know, it's going to be a tough offseason for Bill Zito. He's been good, I think, in his couple of years as their GM of finding value, you know, getting guys in the door that outperform their contracts. And that'll be on his wish list too, because he's not going to have a lot of money to spend to roll back the Panthers and try to make sure that they're a little more prepared for a tough series like the one they just went through with the Lightning.
Rangers Hurricanes game four tonight at 7 in the Battle of Alberta, Calgary and Edmonton at 9:30. I much prefer a 9:30 start as opposed to a 10:30 start, is something we were subjected to over the weekend in the Battle of Alberta. So maybe I can stay up for the first period. Who knows? We'll see how it all plays out. CJ, thank you for doing this, buddy.
All right. Be well, guys. Have a great day.
All right, you too. That's Chris Johnston, our hockey insider.